A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 286. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about Late Night Story, featuring Tom Baker. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon in England. Hello.
So this is a BBC Two storytelling show from Christmas of 1978, with 5 15-minute episodes, one of which was never actually broadcast, but we're able to watch it now.
And as we discussed last time, it is the marvellous Tom Baker just delivering these 5 chilling tales about childhood straight to the camera, just using his marvellous voice and his talents as a storyteller to give us the full impact of these individual little chilling tales.
His voice and that wonderful gripping stare when he looks into the camera.
Yes. Yes, we mentioned the mop of curly hair. We should, I suppose, mention the nose, but also his slightly bulging and starry eyes just grips us as he tells these tales of terror.
Yes, he is very good at it. So we talked about a few of the stories last time. Continuing with those, The End of the Party is a famous short story by Graham Greene, and it features these twin brothers, Peter and Francis. And Peter is very protective of his more anxious and easily frightened brother, Francis.
Yes, and we mentioned last time how the stories do have a sort of earlier part of the 20th century feel to them. And this is, you very much get that sort of pre or post-war feeling of a birthday party at a country house, a children's birthday party for another child. And Peter is well aware that his brother Francis, who is timid and easily frightened, is absolutely terrified by the advertised main event of this party, that it will end with a game of hide and seek to be held in the dark. And the mother, who's organising the festivities, announces this a couple of times, and Peter is well aware that Francis is sort of shivering in his boots. And when the game begins, we have Peter trying to find his brother before anyone else does, so that he can reassure him. But of course, being one of these late night stories and written by the master storyteller himself, Graham Greene, things aren't going to go according to plan, Brian.
Yes, things do not go well in these stories, and this one is certainly no exception.
And it did remind me, I mean, I don't know if people are familiar with a great black and white British horror film, I think from the 40s or 50s, Dead of Night. And there's a sequence of a country house sort of teenagers party in that, which there's a game of sort of hide and seek. And that takes a very sort of ghostly and chilling turn there. And this story sort of reminded me of that, that atmosphere of sometime around the Second World War, posh country house party, and a small boy who is terrified of hide and seek in the dark. And can his brother save him?
Oh, interesting. Now, there's the unbroadcast story. We should talk about that.
Yeah, so this was a bit to be story one. It was to have been broadcast December 22nd, 1978, but it was cancelled because of a production strike, television strike, so there presumably was nothing on BBC Two that night. This was the story Shredni Vashtar, which is included on the DVD extras we've been talking about. It's by the well-known English short story writer Saki, his real name Hector Munro. You know, another great name for sort of British short story writing and genre writing. And would you believe it, it's another sickly child confined to bed. Or at least he's confined to his home, I think, Brian. But he's also allowed into the garden shed.
That's right, yeah.
a boy called Conradin, who is cared for by his cousin, Mrs. de Roop. But Conradin is not at all enamoured of her. In fact, he sort of like quite loathes and detests her.
Yes, that's right. And he develops this thing that's sort of like constructing his own religion. He worships a ferret who he calls Shredni Vashtar, and he keeps this ferret in a hutch in the shed, this garden shed. And as events lead to something of a crisis with Mrs. de Roop, Conradin makes a rather grisly demand of this ferret or this god that he worships.
Yes, and we can't really say more than that without revealing, you know, what happens in this story. But it is grisly and gruesome. It is delivered to us as ever with a sparkle in his eye by Tom Baker. This story in particular is sometimes cited as a possible inspiration. If I said the case of Geff or Jeff the Mongoose from the Isle of Man, some of our listeners may know what I'm talking about. If not, I will try and remember to post up a link to Jim Moon's Hypnagoria episode where he covered this in some detail. A rather intriguing and strange story from real life that may have found some inspiration in this early 20th century short story by Saki.
Oh, interesting. So we should get into some of our own thoughts, the good and the bad. So, Eamon, what did you like about these Tom Baker late night story readings?
Just about everything, Brian. I mean, thanks, as I said, to Stephen Brotherson and Dave Lawrence for their Scarred for Life volume, which turned me onto these stories and led us to hunt them down on the DVD extras. I suppose we often talk about the production, the look and the feel of the show, and it is very simple. I can imagine it's presumably a very easy show for them to have made because it's just got the one set. There's Tom Baker. Presumably, I should imagine, they may have filmed this all in one day. They have a couple of cameras, so sometimes he does change camera. He turns his chair to look down another camera. But it works. We know straight away that we're in the sort of the company of a great storyteller telling us something rather chilling and late night terrible in a way, Brian.
Yeah, that's right. It is this very simple production. And I think that's in its favor. I think it worked well because it was this very simple idea of Tom Baker acting as a good storyteller, just reading us one of these stories. They may have been read from a teleprompter or something like that. Not clear to me. But he was looking straight at us for, you know, straight at the camera for most of it. And I think that sort of simple setup and the direct-to-camera delivery that he gives really worked very well for this.
Yes, I think I did see a reference in one of the reviews I read about the use of a teleprompter. I didn't put it in our notes, but I believe that you're right. He was using that for the stories.
I suspect each story was recorded in one take straight through. I don't know that for sure. But it would make a lot of sense for them to have done it that way, at least for some of them.
So yes, one take, Tom Baker, probably. And of course, we've got Tom Baker, we've got his masterful voice, we've got his delivery, we've got, you know, as we've said, his twinkling and starry eyes. You know, we know that we've got a great storyteller on our hands. So I think, you know, he's a big part of the success of this show.
And what did you think of the choices of stories for these?
So we've got Tony Harrison, who presumably selected the stories and may have gone to look for these chilling tales about childhood, which share a sort of theme. But I mean, you know, what great authors he picked. Graham Greene, Nigel Neal, Ray Bradbury, Mary Danby and Saki. You know, it's a cracking collection of stories, I think. I compliment Mr. Harrison on his selection and on his direction of Tom Baker.
Yes, there are some very good things in there.
So did you like the choice of stories, Brian?
I did like them. At times I felt they were a little bit too similar in some ways, but we only have five of them and they're quite short. And once I realized that that's what they were doing and they had their theme of these sort of early 20th century style, you know, dark stories about children and childhood. Once I saw that that's what they were doing, I quite enjoyed them. I thought they were good choices. They're all quite intense stories. And Tom Baker lets the stories speak for themselves and helps to bring that out, which I thought was very nice. While Tom Baker is a huge part of what makes this work, it didn't feel like he was fighting with the stories or making it all about him. It felt like he was letting the stories take center stage.
Yes, absolutely. He is letting the story work its wonders. Very much, you know, it's good storytelling. It's Tom Baker delivering a great performance and just letting the story sort of wash over us.
I think they deliberately gave Tom Baker a costume that was just a little bit like his costumes as the Doctor. You know, it's much more plain and ordinary, meant to be, you know, what someone might just be wearing. But the choices were, you know, a brown jacket that had a similar line and an open collar shirt with no tie. So it felt a little bit like they were playing on his Doctor image a little bit.
Yes, I think they were. And I just loved the way he just sort of turns from the desk to face the camera, as you say, in his brown velvet jacket and his white shirt and just looks at us. And it's straight into the story, you know, amazing. Quite brave in a way to just do that. No introduction apart from those utterly chilling sepia illustrations that sort of precede that. And by the way, if anybody knows anything about those titles and who produced them, then please let me know.
So is there anything more on the negative end that you want to highlight for this?
I can't think so. I mean, I just, it's a shame in a way that they never got a wider sort of broadcast and reception. I presume, as far as we know, they weren't repeated. I should perhaps mention the John Mills War Stories, which were broadcast in 1979, and which we haven't watched, Brian, because we don't know if they exist anywhere or if they've been released on any DVD. Obviously, I guess they're not going to turn up on Doctor Who DVD extras. Who knows if they turn up on a Quatermass DVD somewhere in the future? Who knows?
Oh, that would be interesting.
I should mention that this wasn't Tom Baker's only time as a storyteller on TV. He would go on to host ITV's children book show called The Book Tower a year later, 1979. That was very definitely aimed at getting kids interested in books and reading, and featured storytelling, but also articles and pieces about books and authors. And of course, if you mention Tom Baker and telling stories, a lot of people will remember from the 80s that he read the Ted Hughes The Iron Man in 1985 on BBC's classic story, children's story time, Jackanory. And that's a very well-remembered particular episode or series of episodes from Jackanory. I mean, a lot of people have their favourite readers and tales, people like Bernard Cribbins and Rick Mail and so on. But Tom Baker doing the Iron Man was a particular standout for a lot of people in the 80s.
Yes, of course, that's right. He also, I believe, did some talking book work as well.
Yes, and I was going to mention that, Brian. I mean, you know, he has got a wonderful voice, like many actors do. But, you know, Tom Baker's particularly is great. And I was wondering, particularly with the stuff he's done for Big Finish in recent years, where you would point our listeners if they wanted more of Tom Baker's marvellous voice. Are there any particular sorts of Big Finish releases that you would recommend? Does he do any sort of audiobooks as well as the Fourth Doctor adventures?
He has mostly been doing the Fourth Doctor adventures, full cast productions, playing the Doctor. There was also an interview release called Tom Baker at 80, where he was interviewed. And he was in the Treasure Island classics production they did, also a full cast production. It generally has been the full cast work that he's done. And he has done some very good work there. I just listened to the new box set that came out, which was Series 7, Part 1 of the Fourth Doctor Adventures. And that was very good indeed, and had some very good work there. As did the Philip Hinchcliffe Presents releases that we've had. And there have been many highlights along the way with the Fourth Doctor Adventure. So he's done lots of good work there on audio, generally playing the Doctor in full cast releases.
Okay. Am I right in thinking that the Tom Baker at 80 is him in conversation with Nick Briggs?
Yes, it is. That's right.
Oh, right. So another reason to recommend it. I might have to track that one down, I think.
Yes, that's available on download, and it's quite a good listen. It's an interesting one.
Okay, so turning us back to Late Night Story, what about yourself? Did you have any sort of negative points about these Late Night Tales, these five little stories?
Only that it is what it is. They do all have this sort of theme of childhood and quite sort of dark and macabre stories. And it is done in this very simple way. So, you know, you get what it is. And if you're looking for something with a more elaborate presentation or something that is more oriented towards children or a little lighter, that's not what you're going to get. You're going to get this simple story reading presentation with these very sort of dark and intense kinds of stories. And if that's what you're looking for, if you're comfortable with that, then I think it's very good.
Okay. Did you have a particular sort of standout story that entertained you or chilled you the most that you would recommend to our listeners?
I really enjoyed Shredni Vashtar, which was the unbroadcast one. Would have been first on the DVD set. It's actually included last. But, yeah, that was a favorite for me. I thought the complexity of what the child was constructing was really interesting.
Oh, right. Okay, that's an interesting choice. And, of course, possibly because it was never broadcast, it is one that's available to watch on YouTube. So people can go and check that one out. I particularly liked The End of the Party by Graham Greene, which I thought was a really chilling story, particularly with what happens in it. And as I say, it did bring back to me that country house sequence from Dead of Night, which is a great horror film I'm very fond of.
Yeah, that's also definitely a good choice. There's some good stuff there. And if you happen to have The Key to Time in that special collector's edition in your collection, you may have this little run of story readings waiting for you there that you might not have really noticed before.
Yes, I hope people have got it, or if not, they know a friend who can lend it to them, because it is unfortunately, you know, somewhat expensive if you're just trying to hunt down these 5-15-minute stories, or at least the four that you can't see on YouTube. £27 currently here in the UK, and more than that in the US and Canada. So hopefully people have got it on their shelves, or they can find a copy to borrow. It's a pity that this sort of stuff doesn't turn up on streaming sites, I'm afraid.
True, but it also gives you a lovely season of Doctor Who with Tom Baker and Mary Tam, so it's hard to go wrong with that.
Yes, you're getting plenty of bonus content with your Late Night Stories, let's put it that way. So I guess we've just about done with our pros and cons of Late Night Story with Tom Baker, and we're getting to our recommendations for our listeners. I'm sure they know how I'm going to go. But yourself, Brian?
I enjoyed this. I'll give a slightly cautious recommendation that if this is your type of thing, if you like these sort of dark, intense stories and you like the reading a story kind of format, then absolutely check it out. For a lot of people, that may not be quite your thing. And, you know, you may prefer the many hours of Doctor Who that comes along with it. But, yeah, so I'd say if this style appeals to you, then definitely check it out.
Okay. I thought they were terrific. I really enjoyed the five stories. I love Tom Baker's voice. I love his delivery and his performance of these stories. And I thought they were all chilling and memorable. So I'm really pleased that we found out about this in Scarred for Life and that we've had a chance to look at them and review them for the show. So as Brian says, if you're able to get hold of a copy reasonably easily or cheaply, then do look at the extra features on the Armageddon Factor and watch these little stories. But if nothing else, go to YouTube and watch Shredni Vashtar and see the whole thing with the titles. It's great.
Okay, very good. So, in summary, Late Night Story brought us a group of short stories read by Tom Baker. Four of them broadcast, but there is a fifth unbroadcast one that we also have available. And they are quite dark and intense stories about children and childhood, and give us some dark and intense ideas with the very simple delivery of Tom Baker reading us a story.
Yes, terrific stuff. Do, if you get a chance, let us know what you thought about them on the Facebook group.
Very good.
And come back next time and join us as we're staying in the 70s, but looking forward to a dark Orwellian nightmare in 1990. A series that's not long been released on DVD, one we've been anticipating getting a chance to look at, starring the great Edward Woodward.
Yes, absolutely. And the name of the show being 1990 is definitely a reference to 1984. Interesting stuff there. We'll look forward to talking about that. But until then, you can find all of our discussions that we've released, all of our episodes, at BritishInvaders.com. Or if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find our Facebook group where you can join in on some of the discussions we have there.
You can also join in on the Voice of Geeks Network. VogNetwork.com is your destination. British Invaders, proud members of that network. We go out Mondays, Tuesdays, but you'll find a whole host of other shows to entertain you there at VogNetwork.com. That's the Voice of Geeks.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. It's Eamon in a very English study turning to face the microphone and signing off here as well.